We expect a lot from our homes. They're more than a place to hang your hat. They're where you try your hand at gardening and new recipes. Rest and recharge. Work and play. And that's why at Home Advisor, we're committed to keeping your home up and running. Whether you need to repair an overloaded appliance or you're looking to create a backyard retreat worthy of a summer staycation, use the Home Advisor app, day or night, and we'll find a local pro to get the job done right. Whatever you need, we'll do everything to fix your everything. Download the Home Advisor app today to get started.
This is Indian Noir. You're listening to Season 2, Episode 10 of His Night Begins. Sai Kalibhak was only 20 minutes into his game of golf when the courier arrived with a box. The private course was conveniently located behind his palatial manor. The grass was imported from Ireland, and the design was by the same firm that built golf courses for the Saudi royal family. Sai was in his early 40s, but did not look a day older than 30. He sported a crew cut that suited his almost square face. He had a thick moustache that was neatly trimmed twice a day. He was wearing a white polo shirt that framed his lean figure, cream chinos and Ray-Ban aviators. His caddy, a skinny man with grey hair and loose skin, held an umbrella in one hand and a glass of chilled mojito in the other. Sai grabbed the glass, had a quick sip, and was setting up his shot when his personal assistant, Surinder Chawla, who was in his 30s, with a mixed martial arts fighter's physique, called out his name.
Kali Saab, Korea. They need your signature. Delivered for your eyes only.
Sai snorted, trying to hide his annoyance. He continued setting up his shot. A man in a yellow uniform with a messenger bag slung over his shoulder, was standing next to Surinder holding a large box. He watched Sai expectantly. Sai tried to refocus. Then he stopped and threw his club down in anguish and grabbed the glass again and drank from it. He gave the glass back to the caddy. When he tried to walk behind him with the umbrella, Sai waved him off. He grabbed the box from the courier and signed the paperwork.
Stay, Kali Saab said to the man. You're sure this is not going to explode, yeah?
Sai asked Surinder. Surinder smiled.
It is clean, boss. We got the dogs to check it at the gates. And we used the explosives detector as well. Still,
Sai said, raising his eyebrows.
Hey, you open it,
Sai said to the courier. The poor man stepped back hesitantly.
It's for you. I can't. I'm not approved, sir.
Open it, son. I don't believe in the saying, never shoot the messenger,
Sai said. The man looked into Sai's eyes and realized instantly that he wasn't joking. He pulled out a box cutter from his pocket and cut through the sellotape. He opened the cardboard flaps and peered in. His eyes registered disbelief for a second. Then he screamed and dropped the box and ran away. Sai slowly walked towards it and opened it and flinched. He signalled to Surinder to have a look. The faithful servant placed his hand inside and pulled out the decapitated head of Inspector Rahman. Sai studied the head for a second.
It's a message.
Surinder looked inside the bag and said,
I don't see a sheet of paper, boss.
The head is the message. Someone is gunning for me. And I'm pretty sure this is not the first business card he has given out, Sai said.
The attacks on Ranjasets. The Ayers.
Surinder thought aloud. Sai Kalibhakt nodded, looking at the head bobbing in Surinder's hand. Surinder, say hello to our invisible enemy.
What was all that commotion?
Sai's bedridden stepmother, Kamala, asked him. She looked at him warily as he gave her a spoonful of goat soup. She was a frail woman, dressed in a white maxi with floral patterns. She had lost all her hair from the chemotherapy to counter her aggressive cancer. Her lips were parched, and the grey skin hung loose around her eyes.
Someone send me a severed head, Sai said.
Kamala coughed and spat some of the soup out. Sai wiped her mouth with the towel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned that while you were eating.
What? Who?
A policeman on our rolls.
Gang rivalry?
Kamala asked.
Must be. This is not the first time someone has murdered one of my associates and sent me a body part.
I am worried about you, Kamala said, touching his face.
I've ordered the boys to scour the city. It's only a matter of time before my faithful hounds follow the clues, starting with the courier service that delivered the head, and get to our mystery man.
He sent it via courier? He sounds like a madman, a dangerous man. Be careful, my love.
Always.
Sai grabbed Kamala's hand and kissed it. The woman winced. Even a small peck on her hands sent waves of pain through her bones. She didn't understand why he was keeping her alive. Sai placed the soup on the table nearby and stroked her hand gently.
This is a waste of time. All this expensive treatment, she said.
Kali Ma will not let us down. My prayers, the sacrifice, will yield results.
You should stop the brutal ways in which you try to appease Ma Kali. Sometimes, I think I'm suffering for all your sins.
A flash of anger lit up Sai Kalibhak's face.
Don't say that. Her power has kept you alive this long. My prayers and the power of sacrifice have sustained your spirit.
Painful treatments and chemicals have kept me half alive. That is the hard truth.
I am preparing one for this weekend. I believe in the power of Ma Kali. She will see you through.
Why? Why have you kept me alive? Why do you do all these things for me?
Because I love you, Sai said. Because you're the only woman I've ever loved.
Sai had never touched her in a sexual way. But he was a devoted husband to her. He had rescued her from his evil father and given her the life of a princess, And even now, as she approached death, he was fighting to win her back from the jaws of a certain dire fate. A little tear escaped his eyes. Sai pressed his lips against Kamala's and tasted death. An old woman, adorned in fading tattoos and tribal jewelry, which included huge earrings and nose rings, led Gulab to a cement tank full of water just outside the shed. Punnachami sat on the veranda of the house opposite the shed, sharpening his large hunting knife and watching her. This was where the animals drank from, Gulab thought, looking at the tank. The water was clear and reflected a somber sky. The woman spoke to her in a tongue she did not understand. She pointed to Gulab's clothes and pulled on it. When Gulab glanced in the direction of Punnachami, he was immersed in sharpening his knife. The woman nodded encouragement. Gulab pulled off her clothes and stood stark naked. A cold breeze gave her goosebumps. The woman picked up a steel mug from the ground and collected some water from the tank and poured it on the young girl. Gulab relished the feeling of water falling on her skin, which badly needed some care. Her wretched journey had left her body dry and full of insect bites. She felt beautiful for just a moment as she luxuriated in the feeling of water caressing her. Considering her precarious situation, she felt strangely at ease. The woman lathered her body with soap and cleaned her with a sponge made from coir. She dried her with a couple of towels and gave her a clean skirt and blouse to wear. As soon as she put the clothes on, the woman guided her to the steps of the house and sat her down. The woman rubbed scented oil on her hair and combed it straight. Gulab sobbed silently at the thought of her mother fussing over her hair. This was the nicest Gulab had been treated in days. The woman sang as she pampered Gulab. She didn't understand the words, but it sounded beautiful. She liked to think it was a lament for a lost girl. Suddenly, she noticed an object on the ground next to where she was seated. She turned her head sideways to check on Punnachami, who was behind them. He was busy looking in the distance, fanning himself with a white towel. She pretended she was scratching her feet, and when the woman wasn't looking, Gulab picked up a small sharp piece of metal, as long as her palm. It looked like it had detached from farming equipment. When she was done, the woman led her to a room in the house with no windows. It was twice the size of her previous residence in the cowshed, and the only piece of furnishing was a bed with a single-sized mattress on it. The fresh sheets smelled like roses. Gulab was glad she didn't have to go back to the shed. The woman said something to her and shook her head and smiled. Gulab wondered what message she was passing on to her. Why was she being treated so well? Maybe they would sell her to the highest bidder at a slave auction, she thought. She had heard of virgins being sold to criminals before. The old woman closed the door with a smile. She heard her talking to Punnachami outside. Gulab looked at the piece of metal concealed in her hand. Escape was never far from her mind. When she stopped hearing voices outside, she checked for escape routes. Nothing. The door was bolted from outside and she couldn't manipulate it with her new tool. There were no windows, just two small ventilation ducts close to the roof. she sat on the mattress and enjoyed the scent of her skin. She placed the metal object next to her on the bed and plotted.